Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Good morning to you. It's Monday. It's Wild Card Monday. It's a masterful Monday. If you are a fan of one of the winning teams, it's a miserable Monday if you're on the wrong end of it. And that's where the Buccaneers found themselves as the only home team to lose so far in Wild Card Weekend. Wow. If you didn't watch Sunday Night Football between Commanders and Bucks, you missed the tightest and most dramatic finish of the entire playoffs to this point. So a lot of fun to watch the Commanders earn their first playoff victory in 19 years. But it was close all the way through against the Buccaneers and a bunch of lead changes there in the second half. We'll get to that one coming up. Who is your Monday MVP? Who is deserving of the title of Monday MVP, even as we still have one game to go in this wild card round? I'm not sure. I kind of waffle back and forth. What's it been, 4 years of the expanded playoffs? Four years with the 14 teams in for the NFL? The three wild cards on each side?
Could be four or five.
Okay, so something along those lines. I tend to go back and forth on this because, yeah, we'll get one or two real close games in the wild card round, but then it seems like more of them are blowouts or are not close. So I'm thinking back a couple years ago to when the Jaguars fell into a 27-point hole against the Chargers and then came roaring back to win. So that was one example of a game that gave us major drama wild card weekend. But what you end up having, and this may very well be because there shouldn't be so many teams in the playoffs, what you generally end up having are some lopsided results because the two and the seven are playing each other. And a lot of times the sevens have limped into the playoffs. I mean, in the case of the Packers, they dropped back-to-back games, not saying that they shouldn't have been in there or that they wouldn't have maybe earned the spot in another division, but still, they were no match for the Eagles, even when Philadelphia didn't have much offense itself to speak of. So you, a lot of times, have ended up with some games that were less than interesting all the way through. They may start out that way, have great storylines, but maybe don't command your attention until the very end. Not the case with the Commanders and the Bucks. This one was terrific. The Commanders earning a wild card, the Bucks earning their three seed there in the NFC. So this was a 3-6 matchup. Is Jaden Daniels the Monday MVP, or is it the bell cow, maybe the bell cow of the NFL, Derrick Henry, although he's going to share that honor with Saquon Barkley. We also threw the Bills' offensive line in there, considering how they were able to operate on Sunday against Denver and a Denver defense that set a single-season record for sacks this year. And then Derek Stingley of the Houston Texans. Man, Justin Herbert looked like he was seeing ghosts. As a nod to Sam Darnold, who will make his first playoff start coming up later on Monday. 855-212-4227. You can vote at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. Either one. Getting back to Commanders and Bucks, it was really impressive to see that second drive of Washington. So can you imagine some of these guys feeling some nerves? A little bit of anxiety to start. It's a road game, so it's not their fans. But also, if in many cases, it's their first playoff game of their careers. They've got a bunch of young guys. Not all of them, of course. But for Jaden Daniels, for the young pieces on that offense, that second drive was a monster. No doubt they were comfortable after this one. 17 plays. I wrote 19 initially and then had to cross it off of my notes. But then, of course, I read the 19. 17 plays, over 9 minutes, 92 yards. Yeah, by the time they got done with that one, they were settled in. And a wide open target in the back of the end zone for Jaden.
Taking the snap. He's back in 5 steps. Daniels steps up, whistles it right down the middle, and a wide open touchdown for Deami Brown. Nobody in the zip code. And Washington takes the lead 6-3 at 9:26, but there is a marker down on the play.
And it was on the defense. Jason Benetti with the call on Westwood 1. It was a busy first half for Mike Evans, too. He was targeted right away by Baker Mayfield and their offense. And they were desperately needing points as they got the ball late in the first half. He has 3 catches on that final possession of the first half, including the 1 yard score. And if you haven't seen the video of this particular TD pass, Baker Mayfield zings it right over the helmet of a defender. I mean, it's not even an inch clear of this defender's helmet, nearly bonks him in the back of the head. Instead, it's perfectly on target to Mike Evans. And can you imagine where Baker and the Bucs would be without Mike Evans? So they're able to get that positive momentum, that positive step forward right before the break. And then what do we know about the Tampa defense over the past month as they were running the table to grab the NFC South title? That defense had not given up a touchdown very often in the second half. In fact, over the course of their winning streak, had not given up a touchdown at all once they got into the third and fourth quarters. And we saw that from the Bucs defense standing up just in that second half, forcing a Washington field goal to begin the third quarter, and then putting the ball back in the hands of Baker Mayfield and a running back who has earned quite a spot for himself there in Tampa.
McMillan in motion, play action, a bootleg roll, fast caught ball, Bucky Irving, touchdown Tampa Bay, Irving's first career receiving touchdown, and the Bucs take the lead, 16-13.
Yeah, so because of the Tampa defense putting that ball back with Baker and the offense, we saw a lot of Bucky Irving. He just taking the ball in the handoffs, able to find some holes in the defense and work a couple extra yards here, a couple extra yards there, but also catches that 4 yard score. Gene Deckerhoff with the call on Bucs Radio. So yeah, the Buccaneers are out in front, and then Tampa's defense does it again, forces a turnover on downs inside the 3 yard line. Maybe some questions to Dan Quinn about why they're going for it there instead of taking the points. We seem to ask these questions of a lot of different NFL coaches. Why so aggressive on fourth down?
We were going to be bold, but not reckless. And I think that's who we are, you know, the whole season. But when you do get stopped early, you just have to stay the course, knowing that, hey, keep your chin tucked and keep swinging, knowing that this is going to be a game that's going to go all the way down to the end.
Thing is, they were so close. They were, I think, on the 3 yard line at that point when they got stuffed. And they had taken 7-8 snaps inside the 5 and had come away empty once they were unable to convert on the fourth down. But they're down by 4. A field goal does you good. And if you have 2 field goals in those situations, well, then okay. But maybe that's part of the equation, is that the field goal wasn't going to earn you a tie and obviously wasn't going to put you in the lead. So they go 3 for 5 on fourth down overall, just 2 for 5 in the red zone. And the Tampa defense was doing its job. Except Baker Mayfield, who's been reliable with the football lately, also part of how they surged to the division title. He's been taking care of the football. This was a mistake they couldn't afford.
First and 10, they're at their own 15-yard line. In motion, Jalen McMillan. It's a fumble, the ball's on the ground! It's out! Does Washington have it? They do! A turnover at the 13!
Just got punched by Flash! It just got punched!
Here's the snap. Daniels to throw for it. Backpedaling into the end zone.
What a play.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! 5-17! A clutch play in the lead!
Weinstein! Bram Weinstein. I feel like everyone in the country knows him well now. Just you can hear the touchdown Washington in your head. So, four snaps later, after that botched handoff between Baker and the on the jet sweep between Baker, and I don't remember, it was McMillan he was trying to hand off to. And so the fumble is recovered on the 13-yard line. So after the defense does all that work to get the turnover on downs to prevent any points, the offense gives it right back. And sometimes it just takes one opening like that. So Terry McLaurin gets into the end zone. The Bucs go down again, this time by 3 points. Now they answer, and within a couple of minutes, they are right there knocking on the door again. That's the thing, is that they were able to get right back into the red zone. But the Washington defense was game this time and stuffed them on third down. Todd Bowles doesn't go for it on fourth. Instead, they kick the field goals, a short field goal, but we're tied at 20. Under 5 minutes to go. And this, to me, was maybe the most impressive stretch for Jaden Daniels as a rookie and that offense that's got Cliff Kingsbury as the OC. Final 4 minutes and 41 seconds, all Washington. The Buccaneers never saw the ball again. 3 first down conversions. Duwami Brown, he ends up catching a ball that goes for a first down. Austin Eckler rumbles 18 yards. So he has a catch and run and is able to convert again. And then Jaden himself. And this is the one that you're going to see over and over. 55 seconds to go in the game.
Ben Sinnott goes in motion. Snap to Daniels. He's going to run to his right. Got away from Kalijah Kansi. Dives for the first down to the 15. He is spectacular.
The magic man. The kid. Jaden Daniels. You're talking about a terrific play call.
On the Commanders radio network, yes, with 55 seconds to go. And you hear them talk about Canty. Canty reaches out and tries to grab a hold of Jaden as he's running to the right and trying to turn the corner. And all he gets is a fistful of towel. That's it. Wasn't able to get to him. Wasn't able to slow him down. And it's a 4-yard run to the right to move the chains. And then they're able to work the clock and get it all the way down to just a few seconds left.
Zane Gonzalez looking to send Washington into the divisional round. Snap good, hold down, kick on its way. It is good! The Cardiac Commanders are the Clutch Commanders. They do it again. We'll see you in Detroit.
And Zane Gonzalez kicks in the door and kicks us into the second round of the playoffs.
I felt like I was in a Bounty commercial, you know, where the cup spills. And no, and like it hit, and as it went through, I kind of just paused and probably skipped a beat.
I love Dan Quinn's honesty about what he was feeling and what he was thinking in those moments, because yes, it was a doink, or as Chris Collinsworth called it on NBC, a divisional doink. And he laughs and he says, I've seen everything now. Poor Zane Gonzalez. That man was a nervous wreck. The fourth kicker that Washington has used this year. And he had a 52-yarder earlier in the game. But that's different. That's earlier in the game. That's not with the second round of the playoffs hanging in the balance. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, this is old hat now for these Washington Commanders. What is it, 5 consecutive wins that have come down to the very last possession? This is how they've made their living. This is how they earned a playoff spot. And Dan Quinn points out, hey, it's not unfamiliar to them.
Maybe it's the volume, David, of close games that you've been in. I've been on some teams that were exceptional, but they were maybe not in a lot of close ones. And so when that becomes the norm, I think you live in that moment more often. Jaden certainly is a big factor in that. I think if he had his heart rate monitor on in mind, they would not be the same in the game. And his stays pretty consistently good. And sometimes I'm like the duck, if you just saw the feet going under the water, it's good. But he really is into that space exceptional.
We're not going to give up to, you know, the clock hits zero. Win, lose, or draw. Whether that was week 1 to now week 19, You know, we're going to keep fighting to the end.
He was unflappable. He didn't even appear to be watching the kick. Now, I know he was, because you could tell the way that everybody else along the bench was turned that he was looking in the direction of the Zane Gonzalez kick. But he's sitting down on the bench. There's no way I'd be sitting down. I'd be a top wound up, like spinning around on the sidelines. So he's sitting down. He does not change facial expression. When that kick goes through, well, after it hit the upright, it doinks its way through. He doesn't change facial expression. You would not have known. If you didn't hear it, you didn't see it. All you did was watch Jaden Daniels. You would not have known that the ball went through the uprights initially. So did he have any emotions after this win?
I don't know. I can't really explain it. Obviously, I'm grateful to have the opportunity. I'm happy for, you know, the fan base, the franchise, everything has been through to get to this point. So I'll just say, I mean, I'm just grateful and happy for everybody, including myself, too.
I'll believe him. He's happy. But part of the ice water in his veins means he's not going to give you a whole lot with his emotions. He does not wear them on his sleeve, that's for sure, if he even has them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So here are a couple of the historical markers for the Commanders. They haven't won a playoff game since they were the Commanders, but they've now won six consecutive games, the last five all coming on the final play or the last play from scrimmage. The six wins that they've had now to wrap up, well, to get to where they are here, as Jaden called it, week 19. That's two more than they had all of last season. And the 13 wins, now cumulative, are more than the two previous seasons put together. Talk about a total turnaround. But here's more. First time since early 90s that this franchise had collected 11 wins in a regular season. Just their fourth playoff win since that Super Bowl under Joe Gibbs after the 91 season. Third playoff win in the last 26 years. 19 years in between. This playoff victory, 19 years in the making. And for their efforts, for their success, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders head to Detroit.
Whenever this rookie campaign ends, I'm kind of in that mode. It's like, hey, one game at a time. Now we're focusing on Detroit. We got a short week, so we got to get our bodies back right to move forward for Saturday night.
Oh, that's going to be fun. The one seeds host on Saturday, the two seeds host on Sunday. We do have the times. We got all week to talk about it. But yeah, it's Kansas City and Detroit in the spotlight on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we have the Eagles, who will host either the Vikings or the Rams, that game played tonight. And then you've got the Bills and the Ravens coming up as the final divisional round game. Is it Jalice who's been waiting? Jalice, who's been waiting in Georgia to talk about tonight's game. Welcome to the show.
It's good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I'm a bit nervous, so I don't want to stutter, so I'm going to ask this kind of slowly.
You can stutter if you need to.
Okay. I like the Vikings a lot, and I wanted to ask your personal opinion. Y'all never talk about Sam Darnold. Y'all always talk about
what?
Just other quarterbacks.
Well, he didn't play this weekend. I talk about him all the time.
Do you? Well, yes. I listen every night because I have insomnia. And maybe don't talk about him then. I don't know. Anyway, with all the great quarterbacks, I wanted to ask you, why have they won so many games and he's just not talked about as much as the other ones?
Well,
but they've won all the games.
Yeah, you're right. They've won 14 games. I would say the way they wrapped up the season was probably a little bit of it, because it was a bit of a dubious end against the Lions. And it's unfortunate that they fall to a wild card even with the 14 wins. But I've said all along, if the NFL hadn't changed the rules about comeback player of the year, that should be Sam Darnold. It's about the good coaching, obviously about the people he has around him, right? So Sam, he is like any other quarterback who's surrounded by weapons. You don't need to do it all by yourself. You just get the ball out to the guys that are with you on the field. So to be able to have an Aaron Jones now in the backfield who's so versatile. Obviously, Justin Jefferson, one of the best receivers in the NFL, if not the best. Jalen Naylor, Jordan Addison, the offensive line there for the Vikings. That offense is terrific. They did not play well against Detroit. That Lions defense had its way. But this is going to be a load for the Rams. I mean, the Rams have got their own great offense, but their defense is really young, and it could end up, the Vikings could dominate that line of scrimmage if they do what we've seen them do for the course of the season.
Right, go Vikings.
There you go.
That's my thing. But I have another question for you. What kind of treats did you give your pet that calmed it down?
Oh, well, it didn't really work, but we tried.
You said 3 weeks.
Yeah, for 3 weeks.
I would feel like I was in Hawaii on the beach if I had that long.
Oh, well, you know what? That's I don't remember the name of the brand, but they're called calming chews, and they had a combination of like lavender and melatonin and all natural stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so look them up. I'm sure you can find them. But it did work for my cat for 3 weeks, and then she was back to yowling. I don't know if
I had a howling cat.
Yeah.
She sounds like she's in heat every day. And she's been six for 16 years.
I was going to say, is she older? Because what I found out in doing research so my cat's almost 17, that if they yowl, if they yowl like that at night, it can be a few things. Number one, thyroid, which my cat's now being treated for. But also, if they're going deaf, they yowl louder because they can't hear themselves. Isn't that interesting?
Well, this is all day.
Oh, poor thing.
Gotta love it. I know. I don't know what the thing is. You've never heard a cat like this. I see little cute ones on YouTube, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's how they meow. But, I mean, I have forgotten what a real cat sounds like.
You're a trooper.
Hey, nobody here is enjoying it much.
No wonder you're up all night.
Yeah. When she's sleeping, it's the only time. The minute I leave my room, boom, she's up. So she has good hearing when she hears my door.
Gotcha.
But I had one other comment, you know, about him reading on the sideline.
A.J. Brown, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, they're all looking at tablets, so maybe more reading than we know of.
Well, no, I agree. That's what I was saying to Ryan. What's the difference between reading a book and reading your scout or reading on a tablet? What's the difference? If a book helps him to stay centered and focused and helps him not freak out over not getting the ball passed to him, then go ahead.
And, you know, holding a book can be calming since everybody's on a device.
All right,
you know?
let's do that
I
with the cat
like
then.
Books.
We'll do that with the cat. Put the cat in front of a book.
Yeah. She needs something, believe me. I'll try the calming treat and see what I mean, I even bought a catnip plant, you know.
Thought, I don't think that calms them down. I think that makes them crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't work, believe me. Give her a piece and she's out of the world, you know, with the howling. But I'll try the treats. Mm. And, I mean, 3 weeks would be a blessing for me.
Mm.
So it was good to talk to you.
I'm
glad
too.
I didn't stutter.
Enjoy the game tonight.
Hey, Viking, go. I've been waiting for this one. I never really liked the weekend, but I've been waiting for Monday night.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So I'm looking forward to it.
That's my thing. All right. Well, good to talk to you.
You too. Enjoy your day, Jaylise. No one talks about Sam Darnold. My goodness. I feel like we've done a lot of chatting about Sam Darnold.
I think everyone talks about Sam Darnold, except for the 1 year he was a backup in San Francisco and then the couple games he was bad for the Panthers. Other than that, he's New York media.
Right. He's been a topic of conversation since he got into the NFL. Drafted number 2 overall.
And then the mono and all that other stuff.
Oh, yes. His personal life.
Yeah.
His mother's personal life.
Couldn't get past New York.
Nope. At A-Law Radio, who is your Monday MVP? Also on our Facebook page, we still want to give you a little reaction from the Buccaneers and also a little bit from the Bills and the terrific run game for them as well. I mean, what we've seen from the dominant run games this weekend, Houston being part of that too, the very first game of Wild Card Weekend. Hope you enjoyed yours. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Mark left for the Commanders win. The kick is up. It sails on the way, hits the upright, and goes through. He knocks knocks it through and wins the game 23-20. The Commanders win in the postseason for the first time in 19 years.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
The final call on Westwood One with Jason Benetti. Last game of the weekend. We've got one more on this Monday night to determine who the Eagles will play in the divisional round of the postseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Commanders able to not only keep the ball away from Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers the final 4 minutes and 41 seconds, they converted on multiple third downs, including Jaden himself getting out and running for the 4 yards that they needed to then be able to run out the clock to set up the Zane Gonzalez field goal. And Todd Bowles has developed a new word for what Jaden Daniels did on Sunday night.
He was making some plays with his feet. We'd be in position. He out-athleted us, and they did a good job on third down, keeping it in third and short and him making plays.
He out-athleted us. As for the Buccaneers, the defense did its job. I get it. They weren't able to get the ball away from Jaden over the final 4 minutes and 41 seconds, but they had done their job earlier. They had stopped him inside the red zone multiple times and had given the ball back to Baker and allowed the Buccaneers offense the possession so that they could then put more points on the board. That fourth quarter fumble, it wasn't the only reason that they lost, that the Buccaneers lost, but it put them in a really tough position, instant red zone.
That comes back to me, just timing it up correctly. First one all year that happened on, so obviously timing of it not great, being backed up. Defense had just done a hell of a job getting us the ball. Another fourth down stop, and yeah, unfortunate, but that falls on me.
I mean, it's nothing to say to him. He's your bell cow. You know, when your bell cow takes a shot and something goes wrong, you got to live with that. You know, they're human. We're going to make mistakes, and he got us here. You know, we wouldn't even be here without Baker, so there's really nothing to say to him.
Yeah, I'm not sure it requires any type of a pep talk or a exit interview, anything like that. These two guys are the reason why there's been a relatively seamless transition. Certainly continued to win the NFC South after Bruce Arians, after Tom Brady, and now on into this kind of new iteration with Bowles and Baker. Mike Evans is awesome. They've also got a great veteran, Lavonte David. If you missed my conversation with TJ Reeves, he's on the sidelines for this Commanders-Bucks game in Tampa, part of Buccaneers Radio. And we talked a bunch about Washington as well and his observations, having twice seen Jaden Daniels. But what now for the Buccaneers? Well, they have a lot of good young players on offense, along with Mike Evans. Not sure what happens with Chris Godwin as he suffered that really serious ankle injury. The same time that Mike Evans was put on IR, but they weathered that storm after losing, I think it was 4 games in a row. They were able to rally and to win this division. And so as painful as this one is, and it definitely is, you don't want to throw out baby with the bathwater, right? And that's kind of the idea. It's tough right after a loss to have any type of perspective, because everybody is going to end this way at some point. This is certainly not where the Buccaneers thought the road would end.
I believe in this team. I believe we had the talent and the coaching staff and everybody around us to be able to go far. But looking back, you know, trying to take a step back, big picture, is this group fought. There was a lot of people that stepped up throughout the year, a ton of guys that stepped up into huge roles. And so there's a lot to be proud of.
Great core group going forward. Very optimistic about those guys. Just got to keep people healthy, add to it, and clean up some spots, and I think we'll be fine.
But in the few moments after the aftermath, it's hard to think positive. You need some time to wallow. This is still wallowing time for the teams that lost. They didn't take advantage of their opportunities, and they had that one fumble. That was the only turnover in the game. Not the case for the Packers, who have 4 turnovers. Or how about the Chargers with 4 interceptions from Justin Herbert? Rough. So that's the game we haven't yet gotten to. We'll talk about that one on the back half of this hour. I don't know if you remember, but all 4 teams that advanced to the divisional round a year ago are back in that same divisional round again next weekend. So it's the top 4 seeds. At this point, you've got the Chiefs, of course, who are the team to beat, toughest out in sports for sure. They will be hosting the Texans next Saturday. And then you've got the Bills hosting the Ravens. So the same top four, not facing, not in the same order, right? But because last year the Ravens were the top seed. But you've got those same top four teams. Looks different in the NFC because of the Commanders and maybe the Vikings as well getting in there to that next round. Packers obviously out a week earlier than they were when they ran roughshod over the Cowboys a year ago. So it does look a little bit different in the NFC. Who's your Monday MVP? At Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. Great to connect with you on this Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Justin Herbert creeping up toward the line, leaning in. Now backs up, leaning back on his left foot, gets the shotgun snap. Looks to the left, pumps and throws left side. Too tall, it's intercepted. Picked off down the sideline. Eric Murray, he's going to take it unmolested for a Houston pick six. Herbert to throw on second down. Floats it down the right sideline. Got a man out there, and it's intercepted by Stingley. His second pick of the day. And Stingley returns it to the 34-yard line before he's tackled. Justin Herbert airmailed another one.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One radio network. Yeah, Justin Herbert, he struggled a bunch, but give the Texans defense credit. Houston starting off the playoffs in a familiar position, right? 3:30 Central Time. The kick, the same kick, the same start time they've had every playoff game they've been in. Well, every wild card game they've been in since 2011. And it's been that same spot, that Saturday afternoon kickoff. But I say you get it out of the way. Just go ahead and get it out of the way. You can be the first one, the guinea pig, and then you can sit back and watch everybody else play. And this was a mixed bag for the Chargers right off the top as they were back in the playoffs as well. They were able to run the ball. They were finding open targets, but they stalled in the red zone twice. Will Disley dropped a ball that hit him in the hands. I mean, there are a lot of different ways the Chargers could have changed the trajectory of this one early on. There was a blocked punt, a second quarter interception by Herbert. Yet neither team had a third down conversion until the middle of the second quarter. There were three turnovers in the first half. What they finished was seven total, I think. And so it's a bit of a messy game to start the playoffs. But even as Houston could get very little momentum until late in the first half when they finally were able to run the ball, it was just a disaster for Herbert and the Chargers. Turnover on downs, three and outs. This is even after a Joe Mixon fumble when they could have used that for a short field. Then Eric Murray with the pick six that you heard, 38 yards. It was a ball that was too high from Justin Herbert. Even after Ladd McConkey goes 86 yards in traffic for a touchdown. I mean, this is from the category of you can't make this stuff up. So maybe they finally feel like they've stymied the momentum of the Texans. They believe that this could be a springboard, could maybe make a run for this game late. And instead, the PAT gets blocked.
The kick is on the way, and it's blocked. And it's batted down. Dicker has it picked up now by the Texans. Picked up by Houston. And on the run goes Ross. D'Angelo Ross all the way to the other end and into the end zone.
Right? As quickly as they snatched back some momentum, it was gone again. So yes, disastrous second half for the Chargers. Though, I think it's terrific that they were back in the playoffs. What a turnaround for them under Jim Harbaugh in his first season. Herbert, as you can imagine, would like to have a bunch of those throws back after four interceptions.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I let the team down, and you can't turn over the ball like that and expect to win and put the team into a tough position there with four turnovers like that. So, you know, the defense hung tough. They got some turnovers. They gave us opportunities, but I just have to be better.
He's got to be able to finish a throwing motion. You know, quarterback's got to be able to do that. And you know, we didn't put him in the position to do that enough.
Khalil Mack, one of those guys in the Chargers locker room who was defending Justin Herbert, essentially telling the haters to, you know what, go jump off a bridge because this is not who he is.
Come on, man. Who gives a f*** about what anybody has to say about that guy, man? Nobody knows what he went through this year. Nobody knows, man, how great of a leader he is and what he's willing to do. He's just always got that guy back no matter what. I let him know that on the plane last night. He's going to be an all-time great in this game. And so you got to use moments like that to learn from him and get better.
Now, interesting storyline unfolding with Khalil Mack, this Chargers linebacker. He'll be an unrestricted free agent for the first time in his career, and he's been in the NFL for over a decade, but he's not sure he wants to keep playing. So he actually said that to reporters. He's 33 years old, and in the emotions of a loss like this one, you can imagine what I was always taught is don't make decisions when you're emotional. Right? Wait, sleep on it. Wait till you calm down a little bit. He says he's not sure if he wants to play football moving forward. Derwin James, who's always a force, he was a force in this game too. He doesn't want to see Mack walk away.
I definitely told him I wanted him to come back. I just told him the same thing. I hope he come back. Like I said, it's just a bad taste in our mouth. I feel like we didn't do what we needed to do, that we set out to do, but you know, I feel like we headed in the right direction.
So you're already recruiting him to come back?
Oh yeah, I already told him to come back for sure.
Mack actually had a couple of sacks in a game, or in this game, and again, disappointing because they thought it might be the run might be something special in an AFC where they've been fairly competitive this season. But there's obviously just the beginning steps here. There's obviously a lot more that Jim Harbaugh can do with the team. The turnovers were a killer. As for the Texans, huge for them, right? Remember, they were the underdogs last week. Now, I don't know if they started the game as underdogs, but I do know they were pretty fired up about that defensive performance and all the takeaways.
Playing playoff football, first thing first, you have to stop the run. And that's where our interior defensive linemen really played great today at stopping the run. Right? You stop the run, you force teams to have to throw the ball. And that's where our entire D-line, they cut it loose, and they really got a lot of pressure on the quarterback, as every guy from Will, DeNico, I mean, everybody, Mario with a sack. I mean, all across the board, those guys were rushing together. They were disciplined with their rush lanes. Everybody did a great job of keeping Herbert in the pocket, and they were able to get him down several times.
Dude, that's for real. Like, that's one thing that is not good when, you know, the defense keeps getting stops and, you know, we're doing whatever with the ball, not moving it well. So, and then the time of possession was like 10 minutes to one. Which was crazy, you know, so it was good for us to have that 99-yard drive. Like, that was huge.
Definitely did settle in at some point, and Joe Mixon ends up with a touchdown over 100 yards. Houston gets 168 yards rushing, and of the four winners, not named the Commanders, so the four top seeds that won on their home field and moved on, all of them were dynamic in the run game. So yeah, when you have a back like Joe Mixon, who earlier in the year missed a few games, but he's still been such a great stabilizing force for this offense, it's huge when you got a bunch of younger guys on that side of the ball.
Joe's meant a lot to our team all year. Right, the leadership that he brings, right? He has playoff experience. He's been there. So he has, you know, good advice to give guys on what it takes to win in the playoffs, and, you know, also things of what he would do different from being there and being able to go all the way. So value that experience that he has, but more so just value the person that Joe is. Like, great energy every day. He wants the football, and you want to play well in the playoffs, you have to be able to run the football.
Yeah, true words spoken by D'Amico Ryans. Houston, 168 yards rushing as a team. Philly, 169 rushing yards as a team. Buffalo, 210 rushing yards. And James Cook was terrific again behind the offensive line. And how about Baltimore? 299 rushing yards in getting to the next round. So the top four, the four teams that won that were top seeds, that were at home all utilized the run game to great effectiveness. The Commanders didn't run the ball as well, but they made the plays when they needed to and were able to get the third downs late in the game, a couple of them via the run. We have a minute left to go. Actually, about 90 seconds to go before the show is done. And I just want to bring it back to A.J. Brown reading on the sidelines. What book would you read if you had time? Chill out, Max, relax. They're on the sidelines. A.J. says just because it's the first time we've seen him doesn't mean it's not something he does all the time.
That's a book that I bring every single game. And, you know, my teammates call it The Recipe. You know, that's the first time I heard that y'all got me on camera. But it's not the first game. You know, it got a lot of points in there. It's a lot of mental game, a lot of mental parts about it. And, you know, because for me, you know, this game is mental. You know, I physically believe I can do anything and everything, but, you know, I got to make sure my mental goes. So it's something like how I refresh every drive. You know, regardless of if I score a touchdown or I drop a pass, I always go back to that book every drive and just refocus.
See, I think it's no different than looking at your scout just to remind yourself of what you're supposed to be doing, or maybe looking at the plays on your wrist if you're a quarterback just as a refresher. Some people look at iPads. I mean, how many times do we see the quarterback sitting down on the benches after an offensive drive, especially one that doesn't end well, and they're looking at the iPads to see the formations? They don't have internet connectivity because that's not allowed, but they're allowed to look at video or photos. Well, A.J. Brown chooses a book. It was written by a former athlete. It's positive affirmations. Ryan, I kind of feel like this is the key to him being wide receiver one.
Annotated books.
It's comic book. That's what it is. He's looking at pictures on the sidelines. All right, we're back tonight after Vikings and Rams in Arizona. Survive your Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!